Texas A&M football, which was at the time considered irrelevant in the college football world, raised a record of $740 million in donations between September 1st, 2012, between August 31st, 2013. This is more than $300 million in any one-year period in school history. You may be asking, what caused such a massive increase in football revenue? The answer is the success of the football team, which finished 11-2 in the SEC conference and was led by quarterback Johnny Manziel. Johnny Manziel was very successful on the field, drawing very large crowds. He selling thousands of 8x10 photos that the university sold. His number 2 replica jersey went for $60 on the school's bookstore until they sold out. The NCAA store had an abundant amount of Manziel-related merch. And Manziel also brought his school a wave of media exposure that was estimated to be worth $37 million. The school's booster program, the 12th Man Foundation, had also profited off of Manziel by auctioning a dinner with him for $20,000. Manziel himself was not able to see or touch a single penny from these profits. Many wonder who, out of all the collegiate athletes ever, could have made the most money if players were allowed to profit off their name, image, and likeness. I believe the answer to this is Johnny Manziel. The revenue he brought in for Texas A&M and the NCAA is astonishing. The fact that he did not see a penny of it is truly deranged. However, recent changes to policy now allow athletes to avoid the full exploitation of the NCAA in college schools. Last summer, the Supreme Court made a decision that has already had a significant impact on college athletes. The Supreme Court upheld the ruling from the lower court in a case called the NCAA versus Alston, a case which struck down the NCAA caps on student-athlete academic benefits in its anonymous 9-0 decision. According to this decision, the NCAA caps broke the Sherman Law. This historic Supreme Court decision changes the NCAA's compensation restrictions. The student-athlete academic benefits are the NCAA's policy that restricts its athletes from receiving money or compensation beyond academics. The NCAA student-athlete academic benefits protect and favor the practice of prioritizing the athlete as a student first and athlete second. Therefore, the student-athletes could not accept money from their performance. This practice is called amateurism. The Sherman Act is a federal law which outlaws monopolistic business practices. Basically, companies and organizations are not allowed to conspire or negotiate about pricing for consumers because it's not real and fair competition. The NCAA was seen as breaking these rules for decades by having colleges all agree not to play players and only give them academic benefits. The final decision in the NCAA versus Alston case created a higher possibility of allowing college athletes to receive compensation for their name, image, and likeness, and reputation. NIL stands for Name, Image, and Likeness. This NCAA decision allows athletes to monetize and profit from their own brands using their name, image, and likeness. This is a positive change away from the NCAA's exploiting college athletes. The NCAA made this decision despite their decades of exploitation. There is no doubt that NIL had already been initiated or thought of, but the NCAA Alston case most likely accelerated the process. Some believe that the NCAA, under old rules prior to this Supreme Court decision, actually functioned as a new plantation. The term new plantation comes from a book by Billy Hawkins that involves the idea that African Americans are raised to believe the stereotype that their only way out or the only way of being successful is to be involved in predominantly white NCAA Division I institutions, or PWIs, striving to play professional sport. Because African Americans play a huge role in PWIs, they are one of the main sources of revenue. Statistically, African Americans make up the majority of college and professional athletics. Prior to the Supreme Court decision, a predominantly white organization was able to keep student athletes' compensation to a bare minimum while still having their athletes be the college's main source of revenue. I argue that this is both morally wrong and a racial injustice. And therefore, the Supreme Court's recent legal changes regarding NIL compensation is good for college athletics. The NCAA has exploited its athletes to the full extent by refusing to allow them anything outside of academic benefits despite the revenue created. Sports for college programs in the NCAA have brought tremendous revenue and attention, increased student morale, boosted enrollment, and raised money for alumni. All this profit depends on student athletes who are considered amateurs until July 1st of 2021, who only receive compensation in the form of scholarships. Those who run this operation of student athletes behind the scenes earn a completely different sum of money than the colleges they oversee. The president of the NCAA earns up to $4 million a year. Commissioners of the top conference earn between $2 to $5 million a year. Athletic directors average more than $1 million a year. Division I college coaches often annually earn $11 million a year with assistants that make more than $2.5 million a year. We also see an established stereotype in the African-American community that the only way to be successful or to strive is to pursue these sports. Many African-Americans believe sports is the only way to be socially accepted or not viewed as weak. This is an effect of the labor oppression that African-Americans have experienced in America for centuries. They often change their lifestyles, pushing themselves mentally and physically to satisfy fans, white owners and coaches, and a white-run industry without receiving pay just to continue being entertainment. This led to the idea of the NCAA as the new plantation. The New Plantation is a book written by Billy Hawkins, a professor in the Department of Kinesiology at the University of Georgia. In The New Plantation, Hawkins explores racial issues in the collegiate and professional sports system, as he also points out and shows prime evidence of the NCAA's exploitation of African-American athletes. These well-funded colleges and athletic departments shape almost every experience for these striving young athletes. Their eating habits, their sleeping habits, and in many ways controlling their daily life with no actual wage, just academic benefits. The NCAA claims to be a Baptist-influenced organization, but violates Matthew 22:36 and Leviticus 19:13. Matthew 22:36 states, "Love your neighbor as thyself." Leviticus 19:13 states, "Do not defraud or rob your neighbor. Do not hold back the wages of a hired worker overnight." Both verses support viewing athletes as our neighbors. Indeed, college athletes are very similar to employees, and according to the verses, the verse in Leviticus should be acknowledged and respected as such. A student athlete with money in their pocket does not handicap their ability to also be a student. NCAA President Mark Emmer, when asked before the NIL decision why athletes did not receive real compensation, states, quote, Schools exist to educate students, and students making money by playing sports would undercut said mission," end quote. This statement was meant to defend amateurism. The NCAA believes money discourages learning, and the students cannot receive both an education and an income. Students are now able to prove Mark Emmert wrong as they profit off their name, image, and likeness as established student athletes. For decades, until July 1st of 2021, compensation restrictions have been tightly enforced and very restrictive towards student athletes. Now players are able to make money off their NIL. Players put their minds, bodies, and priorities on the line for their sport in the college and professional world. Receiving money would add more motivation for them to stay eligible. A student athlete with money in their pocket can be a successful student like any other student. Athletes who produce high revenue for their college should be seen as employees. Student athletes, including bench warmers, will now be able to receive compensation for their name, image, and likeness. Student athletes are now able to receive offers from those in their hometowns, college towns, and businesses to appear at autograph signings, clinics, camps, and more. Before NIL was granted, college athletes who owned businesses before college or during needed to ask the NCAA for a waiver, which was rarely granted. Thousands of student athletes were forced to end their businesses due to the NCAA's former restrictions. Now college athletes can learn more about entrepreneurship and financial situations that they can later build upon after or during college. College athletes are also able to use this money to send money back to their families at home and to support their own needs without having to rely on the school stipends, a limited allowance that not every athlete receives. NIL has expanded the opportunities that comes with being a student athlete. The Olympics in 1960 made a similar compensation change that was positively benefited their amateur athletes. During this time, the Olympics was struggling with a similar debate over amateurism. Athletes were not receiving any material gain other than fame from participating in the Olympics because the governing body wanted to preserve amateurism. There was also an inconsistent enforcement of amateurism at the Olympics, as in the NCAA currently. The Olympics seem to be falling apart because some believe removing amateurism would lead to greater flourishing, yet many also believe that removing amateurism would cause for the Olympics to all fall apart, similar to the NCAA's current concerns. Yet after removing amateurism as a requirement and allowing professionals, the Olympics began to boom. Olympic historian Bill Mallon states in 1992, quote, "The Olympics are more powerful and popular than ever. It has been decades since they opened the games to the professionals, and they are still going strong. This was before America's basketball's 1992 Dream Team and the Olympics, which made the Olympics even more popular. During this time, fans did not complain as many worried. They were too busy focusing on the performance of the athletes. The success of the Olympics policy change shows that amateurism is not always the point of competition. The NCAA's compensation restrictions are somewhat like those of the former Olympics before 1971. The Olympics complications were resolved not by paying their athletes, but by allowing their athletes to get paid, as the NCAA has now done presently with name, image, and likeness. This shows the strong possible positive outcome of the NCAA. The NCAA versus Austin case is complicated. Many believe that it led to the NCAA's decision regarding NIL, but this is in fact not true. The NCAA losing this case and their caps being struck down was not directly linked to the changes in the use of NIL. The restrictions that were loosened did not force the associates' hand on NIL. Many athletes have been active in fighting for more compensation, the use of NIL, and the pay for student athletes for the past decades. In 2021, athlete activism was very strong. Some believe that after losing the Supreme Court case, anonymously 9-0, made the NCAA decide to hasten the release of NIL. Despite my own opinion that athletes should be paid, there are valid points and arguments for the NCAA deciding not to pay their players to preserve their principles of amateurism and to maintain the fundamentals of college athletics for their institutions and for their fan base. The NCAA believes that academic awards and benefits should be more important and favorable to student athletes because they are students first and athletes second. So why is it important to maintain amateurism? There are many definitions of amateurism, but according to the NCAA, an amateur, quote, is someone who does not have a written or verbal agreement with an agent, has not profited above his or her actual and necessary expenses, or gained a competitive edge in his or her sport. End quote. Removing certain compensation restrictions would cause amateurism to be lost. However, according to the NCAA versus Austin case, the NCAA is not consistent in upholding this definition of amateurism. Amateurism is necessary to the NCAA because the millions of dollars that these athletes generate is used for the school's functions or to partially subsidize other sports. The current president of the NCAA, Mark Emmert, notes, quote, "The way athlete departments are going to get paid is they are going to eliminate other sports. There is no other way for them to do it. If you just look at the revenue from football, you might be able to figure out how to pay football players, but you would also eliminate all the other sports that are out there to do that and take away opportunities for men and women," end quote. I strongly agree with this purpose of not paying athletes. I believe that these opportunities should not be taken from young men and women that are able to attend college on scholarships in the same effort as revenue generating sports, because all athletes in sports should have equality and similar opportunities. Although we see an inconsistency toward these revenue generating sports, we see rules more tightly enforced on these specific athletes and restrictions. For example, nobody had a problem with Natalie Portman filming Star Wars Episode II: Attack of the Clones while attending Harvard. Yet when former Colorado football player Jeremy Bloom accepted endorsement money for his Olympic-level side career in freestyle skiing, the NCAA ruled him ineligible. This shows the biasness that revenue-generating athletes receive from the WNCA. To solve this obstacle, Ruby states, quote, "The Olympics does not pay participants. It simply allows them to get paid. There is a difference. A difference college sports should welcome with open arms. Do not make campus athletes university employees, but do let them be like Phelps, appearing in commercials and on the cover of video games, profiting off their fame and image like everyone else in America." This statement represents the purpose of NIL for players, showing that NIL is the first step towards the redemption of the NCAA. Another argument that the NCAA portrays is that removing compensation restrictions will result in an environment that lacks competitive balance. The NCAA fears that colleges or businesses will exploit players with deals and negotiations if players are allowed to receive pay for their NIL, which will result in unfair competition in the league, causing problems with not only the organizations and colleges, but also with fans. The NCAA believes that despite the fans' positive reaction toward the Olympics losing amateurism, that it will completely differ from the NCAA. The NCAA believes that the majority of their fan base is very keen towards the students, athletes, amateurism. It is honest and hard-working gameplay that improves consumer demand by preserving its tradition of amateurism. The tradition of amateurism is so important because over the past decades, student athletes have become the identity of college sports. The NCAA prefers to keep them as student athletes because they believe it enhances its popularity with consumers. The NCAA is afraid of the outcome of athletes losing amateurism. They believe that the NCAA will downgrade into another minor league and not be the organization that it is presently, despite the experiences in the Olympics. In conclusion, refusing to allow students to use their own image and likeness and exploiting them for their full value, as the NCAA did with Manziel, is unjust and cruel. The exploitation on the level that Manziel experienced and many other student athletes experience is something that we should try to prevent from happening. The change of the NIL policy was the beginning of the NCAA's redemption and a first move away from exploitation. The NCAA's probable excuse for their exploitation in many cases relates to amateurism. We see during the Olympics in 1986 that removing amateurism can possibly impact the experience of athletes, fans, and overall income. Without the NCAA ousting case, there is a strong possibility that the changes of the use of name, image, and likeness would not have been possible or would not have happened so quickly. It is important that we view student athletes as humans and not just athletes in entertainment. As an athlete myself, I understand that these athletes have feelings, emotions, wants, and needs. Allowing student athletes to be paid is the epiphany that will positively affect the organizations and their athletes.